Good morning, everybody. It's good to be back. I know some of y'all were in Lynchburg last weekend. I just got back from Japan, and thank the Lord, I had some time to meditate on these verses during my trip. I really struggled with this text a lot over the past couple weeks, but I thank the Lord for helping me through. It's a rich scripture that Paul has given to us, and I hope that we can dive into it this morning. So we just have two verses to look at this morning. Comes from Romans chapter 12, the first two verses. So hear now the word of the Lord. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let me say a quick prayer to begin. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us to see your mercy this morning. That you would help us to understand the depth of your love, the mercy of your will, and all that you do through your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray that your Spirit would guide me this morning to share the truth that you would have for us to hear. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so imagine, if you will, that you're a member of the church in first century Rome, and you've just received this letter from Paul, a man you probably have heard stories about, but maybe you've never personally met him. And as you read this letter, Paul is telling you you must change your life. Not a light suggestion, but he's urging you to change. Not a small change, but a total transformation. As if you have a new mind, a new way of living. How can Paul speak so boldly to us? Well, it is a matter of life and death. If you are not offering your body as a living sacrifice to God, then that is a sign you have not yet accepted God's mercy, and therefore, you are under God's wrath. And that is a serious matter. Both the Jews and the Romans at that time, they were performing ritual animal sacrifices to worship or maybe just appease their respective gods. But that is not true and proper worship. Paul's desire is for us to become an offering. Not as a one-time dying sacrifice, but as a continuous living sacrifice, which is holy and pleasing to God. So my main point this morning is that a living sacrifice is a cycle, starting with viewing God's mercy, and then being transformed by a new mind, and finally reflecting on God's will for you to see more of his mercy. So my first point is that the will of God is to show mercy. Notice the motivation that Paul provides to us in verse 1. Therefore, in view of God's mercy. So Paul places huge emphasis on God's mercy and therefore clues us in to look at the previous chapter. To see what mercy Paul is talking about. So let's turn back to Romans 11. Verse 32. God has bound everyone over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. All things are from God. That means he is our creator, our provider, our sustainer. But how can we understand what does it mean that all things are through him and for him? Well, Paul explains in Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So God the Father created all things, but with a specific purpose, for his Son, Jesus Christ. All things are for the Son, because all things are reconciled to the Father through the Son, by his blood shed on the cross. To be reconciled means to have our relationship with God restored. Why should we even have a relationship with God? Well, we know from Genesis 1 that God created all things good. And God created mankind specifically in his image so that he could be a father to us. This is our proper relationship with God. All things are from God, so we should give thanks to God. All things are through God, so we believe and trust in God. And all things are for God, so we give all the glory to him forever and ever. But what has mankind's relationship with God actually become? Well, Paul says in verse 32, all are bound over to disobedience. What does that disobedience look like? Well, we can see from Romans 1, verse 21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. The reality is we all worship something less glorious than God himself. And that leads to every kind of sin. Right? Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Our sin is that our worship falls short of the glory of God. Whatever thing we worship, no matter how good it may be, it cannot give us life if it is not God. Because all things are from God, through God, and for God. So if we don't properly worship God, then we deserve to be separated from Him, cut off from His life. And so naturally, we die. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Now, God is righteous and just, but He also has mercy on us, even in our sin, because He doesn't want to see us die. The prophet Ezekiel told us, chapter 33, verse 11, God said, "As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, people of Israel?" So, in His infinite wisdom, God used our sin to bring about our salvation. This is the gospel message. Look back at Colossians 1. The greatest act of sin was humanity conspiring to nail the Son of God to the cross. He was the only righteous man, but He died a criminal's death. But His blood that was shed paid the price for all sin, because Jesus Christ died willingly. He sacrificed Himself. He took the death punishment that we all deserve for our sins, so that we could be forgiven for our sins. That is mercy, to take away the punishment that we deserve. And if you put your faith and trust in the fact that Jesus sacrificed Himself for your sins, then you have peace with God. You are reconciled to Him, and you are no longer a slave to sin, but free to worship God truly and properly. And although the sacrifice was immeasurably painful for His Son to bear, God is pleased to offer that sacrifice because that was His will from the very beginning. This is the big picture of the will of God for all creation, to know His mercy through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ, for the praise and glory of God. That is why Paul says in Romans 11:32, God has bound everyone over to disobedience so that He may have mercy on them all. And since God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect, that applies to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as well. God spoke through the prophet Isaiah to tell the world His will long ago. In Isaiah 42, verse 1, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching the islands will put their hope." We see that Jesus Christ is good because He brings justice to all the nations. All of mankind has sinned. No one is good besides God. But God's will is to take away the sins of the world. When John the Baptist paved the path for Jesus' arrival, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus Christ is pleasing because of how He brings justice. Not with shouting or crying out, not with force and violence, but with peace and mercy. He could have brought justice by destroying the world in a flood. He would be perfectly justified in doing so, except that God promised never to flood the world again. God delights in his Son, his chosen one, is pleasing to God because he faithfully carries out the will of God. And his Son is pleasing to us because of his mercy. His mercy is our only hope of salvation. And finally, Jesus Christ is perfect because he has no flaws. Jesus did not falter. He did not get discouraged, but rather he faithfully established justice on earth. Even though the devil tempted him, even though his disciples betrayed him, even though the burdens of the whole world was on his shoulders, nothing could prevent Jesus Christ from being born into this world, living a perfectly righteous life, then dying on the cross for our sins, and rising from the grave to give us new life. That is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God, to show mercy through Jesus Christ. My second point is that a renewed mind conforms to God's will. Again, I return to Romans 11:32. I think Paul could have worded it as, in view of our disobedience, God showed mercy. So now our response, in view of God's mercy, fill in the blank. Show obedience. Obey God's will. Or if you say, God showed me mercy, so I love him in return. That's wonderful. Jesus said in John 14, if you love me, obey my commands. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. If you truly understand God's mercy and believe that it applies to you, then you should love him. And you know that the only reason you are alive today and have the hope of eternal life is because it was God's will to show mercy to you. So the natural response is to pursue your new source of life, God's will. What is God's will for you today? Well, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul writes, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What is God's will? It is for you to worship him. Rejoice, pray, give thanks in all circumstances, all to the glory of God. Remember, God's mercy reconciled you to him so that you can worship him truly and properly. How can we do that? Well, Paul gives us instruction in verse 2 of chapter 12. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If we continue in chapter 12, Paul provides many examples of the pattern of this world. Right? Do not conform to the pattern of this world means do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Do not curse. Do not be proud. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Do you see the pattern? This world is ruled by sin, exalting one's own will rather than seeking God's will. Okay, so what does Paul teach us to do instead? Instead, think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Do not curse, but instead bless those who persecute you. Be willing to associate with people of low position. Live at peace with everyone. Overcome evil with good. This is how a renewed mind thinks. And it is also how Jesus Christ lived. That is no coincidence, because he had perfect faith in God. The only way to conform to the will of God is to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the only man who perfectly obeyed God's will is Jesus Christ. He is your best model. Your renewed mind seeks to do the will of God by thinking with the mindset of Christ Jesus. See Philippians 2. Paul says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus, who is in very nature God, whose rightful position is on the throne of God, was willing to associate with people of the lowest position, even to die a criminal's death. To be crucified was the worst kind of execution, reserved for only the worst criminals. Did Jesus curse the Roman soldiers that drove the nails into his body? No, we can see from Luke chapter 23. Verse 34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Even as Jesus hung on that cross in between two other criminals who deserved to die, did he curse them? No. We look down at verse 43. There was one criminal that believed and trusted in who Jesus was. And Jesus answered him, truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, Jesus has set an incredibly high bar. Is it really necessary for us to humble ourselves in this way? Can't we worship God just by singing songs in church? Well, let's turn to Romans 15. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed. And moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. So we see that the way to glorify God for his mercy, in other words, the way to true and proper worship, is to have the same attitude of mind as Christ Jesus had. When you find it difficult to accept one another, to bless someone who has wronged you, especially in the church, consider the mercy of God. God's will was to show mercy to you even in your sin. And that other person is also a sinner who God has shown mercy to. It does not matter how badly that person has wronged you. Their sin against God is greater than the harm they've done to you. And God desires to show mercy to them, so they would repent. So who are you to withhold mercy from them? Even if they don't repent, do not take revenge, but leave room for God's wrath. That's Romans 12:19. Remember, Jesus Christ died for you before you repented. Right? Romans 5:8. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When you understand the mercy that God has shown to you through his Son, Jesus Christ, that knowledge transforms you. It transforms your mind so that you no longer conform to the pattern of this world, but rather humble yourself in serving the will of God. My third point is that when you reflect on God's will for you, you see more of his mercy on you. So what happens when your mind is renewed to conform to God's will? Well, Paul tells us in verse 2 that then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Remember 1 Thessalonians 5? Well, Paul repeats himself here in chapter 12. Verse 12, he says, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." That's the mark of a renewed mind. It worships God because it approves of the will of God. So approve that God's will is good so that you can pray faithfully, that God will help you to overcome evil with good. Approve that God's will is pleasing so that you can rejoice always in hope, for he has shown you mercy. Approve that God's will is perfect so that you can give thanks in all circumstances, even in affliction, for God's way is the best way. When you reflect on your life with a renewed mind, you will see two things. You'll see that your thinking is more aligned with God's will, with the mind of Christ. You understand Jesus Christ more clearly. You gain more insights into his life, death, and resurrection. Through Holy Scripture and the Holy Spirit and your life experience combined, you can see the mercy of Christ more clearly. And secondly, when you compare your new mind with your old mind was conformed to the pattern of this world. And through your new mind, you see your sin more clearly. In both cases, you can appreciate the mercy you receive from God through Jesus Christ more profoundly. And we find more reasons to rely on God's mercy. As we sang this morning, morning by morning, new mercies I see. And now that I see more of God's mercy, Paul would say to me again, in view of God's new mercies, be transformed again, now that your mind sees Christ more clearly. God's will is to continue showing mercy to you that transforms you again and again. This cycle is what it means to offer your body as a living sacrifice, because it is a continuous way of living. I have a cousin who used to live with my family, and she was planning to move to her own apartment on around January of 2023. She asked me to help her move one weekend, but I already planned to meet with my college friends that weekend. So I told her no, I couldn't help her move. Well, my cousin, she's a nurse, and right before the move, she got COVID from working in the hospital. And it spread to my whole family. She was living with us at the time. And since I got COVID, I couldn't meet with my friends anymore. And so I had to tell them not to come to Charlottesville. And therefore, I was free that weekend to help my cousin move her stuff to her new apartment. And since she had COVID, no one else could help her move except me, since I also had COVID. I could have been upset at her for getting my family sick. I could have been upset at God for not allowing me to see my friends that year. But instead, I reflected on my life and approved that God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect. God taught me that I should have prioritized helping her instead of hanging out with my friends. And moreover, after I fully recovered from COVID, that was when I realized God had removed my pornography addiction. And thus God further showed me the power of his will to show mercy on me. His will is good because not only did he heal me from my disease, but he freed me from my sin. His will is pleasing because he prevented my friends from getting COVID and spreading it to their families. And his will is perfect because my cousin is a child of God, and she needed someone to help her move, and God provided that person perfectly suited to her situation. And God overcame the stubbornness in his heart to make him willing. That's the mercy of God. He shows mercy even in our affliction. So in conclusion, a living sacrifice is a continuous cycle. First, look at God's mercy. The gospel message tells you the true historical fact that God showed boundless mercy through Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. Study that. Understand that. Meditate on that. Secondly, in view of God's mercy, allow that knowledge to transform your mind, renew your thinking. Identify ways in which you are still conforming to the pattern of this world rather than the will of God, and then repent of those ways. Believe that Jesus Christ has freed you from that sin, and trust the Holy Spirit to work in transforming your heart and renewing your mind. Thirdly, reflect and observe. God's will is to do a good work in you, so test and approve that God is doing that. Acknowledge that God has shown mercy on you and that his mercy has made you more holy and pleasing to God. And now, in view of God's mercy, seeing the new mercies God has shown to you, you have learned more about Jesus Christ. You have gained a new understanding of the mercy of Jesus Christ. And the cycle repeats. A living sacrifice is a continuous cycle until the day you die or the day Lord Jesus returns. So would you be willing to start that cycle today or restart that cycle if you find that you have hit the pause button? Do you see the mercy God has shown you already? I urge you to respond to God's mercy today with true and proper worship. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you desire to have a relationship with us, that you desire for us to trust you and to know you deeply, to see the full riches of your glory. And even though we rebelled against you, you were patient with us, and you desired for us to turn from our evil ways and to live, to be reconciled to you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have taught us how to worship you, not by our own ways, but according to your will. We thank you that your mercy is displayed in our lives every day through Jesus Christ who lives in us. And it's his name that we pray. Amen.